All right, it's been a while. Admittedly, it's been a while. However, if there's going to be a week to come back, I don't know if there's a better one than this. Before we even touch on anything about the events, we have Hunter, we have Sam. Let's start off. Sam, how have you been?
Not too bad, other than I think I have COVID.
Whatever. Who cares? Fake. Hunter, you?
I mean, it's John Jones fight week. It's good. I think it's our first time back, us three together in like how long?
It's probably since New Year.
Long time, long time. But yeah, I've been good.
But we're here. And so let's start it off. We'll start before we get into anything main card. It's a stack card. We could easily make a 50-minute episode just about the main event. However, we wouldn't be doing a good job as really like MMA coverage if we didn't touch on this entire card from start to finish. Let's start it off as we usually do, because I think we're going to talk a lot on this main card. Prelims. We could touch on every single fight here, but what's one fight that you're looking forward to? Hunter, we'll start with you.
Obviously for me it's Ian Garry. He's on the early prelims. He's the main, I believe, fight on the early prelims. Undefeated still. I think he needs a finish or something more impressive soon, especially this fight. One thing I did notice about all the early prelims, there's like four undefeated guys on this card, which is,
Yeah.
crazy. So
I'm counting through it right now. There's one,
there's
four, Bo Nickel, five, which not I'm not counting just prelims. And then really we gotta count John Jones as six.
Yeah. Sorry,
So
man.
there's six undefeated fighters on this card.
That's
Sam?
crazy. Yeah. I
Yeah, I
mean,
mean the card stacked from top to bottom. I mean, for prelims fights, I'm looking at Blond Brunson and Duplessis.
that's crazy to me that this is a fucking prelim and
They have
not
the
even a
mi
featured.
Yep.
All right, we're gonna touch. Oh, what was that, Hunter?
That shows you how good Bo Nickel is, the fact he can just jump into a main card right away.
He did kind of demand it, but we'll get past that. Before we get into the featured prelim, because we'll talk on it for sure still. I want to mention Tabitha Ritchie. She's a some would say an Instagram model at this point. However, at 7-1, I think it's time that we start kind of taking her a little bit seriously in the strawweight division. I think this is going to be the fight that finally puts her over that hump and people will start recognizing her more than just the hot MMA fighter. Baby Shark, well, I think she's going to get it done. I just wrote it in my article. Go out, check out winnersonlyclub.com. Three fights to watch at UFC 285 that are not the main or co-main events. But let's talk about this featured prelim and the importance of it. We have our boy Cody Garbrandt facing off with Trevin Jones. How important is this for Cody Garbrandt? How important is it for Trevin Jones? Let's start off, Hunter.
I think it's for Cody, it's a must win. If he doesn't win, he's gonna. I don't know if the UFC's gonna cut him. I think they should at that point, especially if it's a knockout. When was his last win? Moraes?
Checking now.
Or so?
His last win would have been in 2020.
Versus Asusan or Asuso?
Sancho, yeah. Or was it
Yeah,
that?
Sancho.
He's 1-5 in his last six.
That was the knockout. It's a must win for him. He's 1-5 his last six, which means he started off 11-0 in his career. He's 12-5 now. This is a must win. I think he even said on a previous podcast on something that Cody admitted, he goes, "I need this fight. I need this win."
For him, if he loses this fight, does the UFC drop him? Because he's such a star that like he will get signed.
He'd probably go to Baron.
Bare knuckle makes the most sense. PFL would be one to watch if they wanted to just put a bunch of money into a big name. Bare knuckle would make the most sense. However, for Cody Garbrandt's sake, I hope that's not what he does, because we've seen him just get smacked around enough already.
Yeah.
Bellator, he's our. If this was Bellator 3 years ago, then yes. This is not the Bellator today. So I don't think Bellator would want anything to do with him. Eagle FC, I think, is dead. I'm not really.
That's not around.
They have an event.
Yeah. I think regardless for Cody, he's still, you know, very talented. If he gets a win here and, like, can get on a streak going, he still can beat anyone in the world. He's got those hands. I just don't know if his chin's ever going to get there.
No. I don't think so either. I don't think once he gets those top guys, he has really much of a chance. Weirdly enough, I think the only person he has a chance against would be Brandon Moreno. But I don't think he has enough talent to get past the guys that would be necessary to get there.
So, he's at 35. So it'd be.
Yeah, he's at 35.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
It would be Aljamain.
Because he went down to fight Cara France and got knocked out first round against a smaller guy. Went
down from. Yeah, you're right. At 135, there's no one I can think of.
He could beat Dominic.
But what's that going to do?
I don't know. Yeah, it's a must-win for him. But for Trevin Jones, it's just like anyone that's beaten Cody in the last five fights, their stock rises. So for Trevin Jones, man, he can just go in there and bang. And this was also a short-notice fight for Trevin Jones. So I don't know how his weight is, but I'm assuming, you know, he's got a tough cut. He's a big 35.
We'll find that out in the morning. As of the current moment, Cody Garbrandt is standing at a minus. Where'd it just go? I just had it pulled up. I think it was minus 175 favorite. So
it also doesn't help him that he's this is going to be roughly 15 months off from his last fight too.
Yeah, for someone that's so known, he only has 17 fights. He's never been active. Even when he was a champ, he fought once a year. Like it's weird.
Minus 175 is what he's standing at right now. I want Cody to win. I do. However, like, even if he wins this, I don't know who you put him against. Like, what's there to do?
So I don't know. I don't know. I feel like Cody wins this one. You can get a guy in the top 15 again and then try to climb up. But once you get to the top 10 there, it's just I don't think he touches those guys right now. But prime Cody Garbrandt could, so we'll see.
But again, I'm with you on the Ian Garry pick. For Blond Brunson and Duplessis, who do we have winning that fight?
I have Brunson. Duplessis hasn't shown me in what his last three fights that he can fight outside the first round. If he doesn't get a finish first round, his stamina is done.
My question was his stamina too, but Brunson is at the tail end of his career. I don't think that's much of a secret. He has already said that he's on his last couple fights. However, I'm with you. If this gets around three, I don't think Brunson can lose.
Yeah, I think I don't see it.
After the Cannonier fight, I believe we watched that at the bar, Jake.
Yeah.
I think after that, when he said basically, didn't know if you want to keep doing the sport, that says enough. Duplessis is hungry, man. He wants to be on the main cards. He wants the big fights. I don't see Brunson touching him.
I'm with you. I'm staying away from the fight betting-wise.
What's the line?
On the line, it's plus 250 Brunson. So minus 200 for Duplessis. Minus 200 seems like a lot. Plus 250 seems like too much. I don't like it at all. So I'm just staying away from the fight. I'm going to probably hope. No, I'm just hoping to enjoy it. So I actually could see this being fight of the night, though, if I'm being real.
Yeah, Duplessis brings it, and Brunson, he's got that weird little burst thing he does that can make this really fun.
Like, he saves his energy just maybe too long, but it could make for a very back-and-forth fight. If I had to put it, like, money on it, I would say there's going to be, like, 29-28 decisions Brunson. That's where I stand.
Yeah, I'd agree.
He'll lose round one. I think round one, if Duplessis doesn't get him out of there, that's when I will hammer money on Brunson. As long as he is not stumbling into his corner after round one, that's kind of where I'm at.
Duplessis might be, even if he wins the round.
What was that?
Duplessis might be stumbling into his corner even if he wins the round.
That's true.
Duplessis knockout there, but we'll talk about the picks later.
Yeah, we'll get to the picks at the end here. So, main card. Let's start it off. Bo Nickel, Jamie Pickett. First fight of the main card. Bo Nickel, the biggest favorite on the entire card at minus 2,000. I know, it's, Hunter, you're with it.
I mean, man, Penn State, three-time national champ, Heisman Trophy winner twice, which is like the Heisman of college wrestling. Bo Nickel is going to be that kind of a favorite in so many fights, even at the top level. That dude, I'm excited to watch it, and I just want the world to see, because I've been watching this dude dominate since he was probably 6 years old at national tournaments. So, Jamie Pickett, man, that's a tough fight for him.
Jamie Pickett, I hope this isn't like a, like, you need to win this fight, because there's no chance.
I don't think he would have took it then.
No, I think he knows. I think, honestly, if Jamie Pickett makes it past the first round, I think that stock riser.
I just don't know with his grappling, excuse me, if he's going to be able to like get out of 2 minutes. It's the same thing with Hazmat in those early fights he had. You know, he can just run in, take anyone down, and submit him real quick. And Jamie Pickett's got 8 losses, I believe, a few by submission. So,
yeah, it's a weird, like a very strange, like, route that you take for Bo Nickel, because you can't rush him into a top 5 opponent, even though that's where we all want to see him right away. But also, like, who in the right mind is going to take the fight?
Yeah.
Because what chance do you really have?
And if you're in the top 15, why do you take that chance to get booted out because you want to fight Bo Nickel, you know?
The payday.
It depends. He could be the new cash cow. We'll see.
Well, me and Sam, right before you jumped on pre-show, we were saying, like, the two guys that instantly come to mind that would, like, put up a really good fight with him are if Khamzat moves up, or, like, Robert Whittaker. And we're talking about top 5 guys.
Yeah. Yep.
So, like, that's, like, if that's the two guys that were, like, these are good fights, like, who unranked is ever going to want to, like, face that guy right now?
I guess mean, if I was the champ of middleweight, I wouldn't want to face him after what Izzy did to him.
Oh, if he fights Pereira, he's champion right now.
Oh, yeah.
100%. That's what's crazy about the middleweight division right now. That's why we want guys like Khamzat to come up, or even like Kobe if he came up and put some size on. Because where's the wrestling at the top of the division? Once Weidman left and fell off, there's no wrestling in the middleweight division.
It's strange to say, though, like, Colby doesn't have to put on size. He literally has to put on weight.
I know. He has to, like, actually put on a lot of, like, pure size.
Like, he weighs 168 regularly.
Yeah, that's insane to me.
And he just goes down and has to fight.
I thought he was, like, 178 for, like, walking around.
Is that what it was? 178?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, still, you'd have to gain 7 pounds.
Just to hit the limit.
Like, would a Kamaru Usman be a great fight for him? Sure. But why would Kamaru Usman want to move up from 170? Doesn't make sense to me either.
When he loses the trilogy to Leon.
I don't think he'll lose that fight, but we can get in that 2 weeks from now. Yeah, I mean, for Bo Nickel, there's not really a good opponent. He's going to be quickly catapulted into the top 15. I guarantee, as long as this doesn't become a decision, he's going to get a top 15 guy next.
Yeah. Yeah.
If this is a decision, then he will get an unranked guy.
He'll be one of those guys, like, that either headlines a card his next fight, or he's going to be on every big pay-per-view.
Yeah.
You know, just like they've done with Sean O'Malley throughout his
career. I was going to say, there's the Sean O'Malley route, or there's the Conor McGregor route, where he's fighting for a title 3 fights from now.
Or you headline, like, the cool thing about Conor is, you know, he had like 7 fights before, you know, the fight with Mendez. And 3 of them are on FS1, I believe, or like free TV, which is great because, like, the casual fan that doesn't watch a ton can throw it on for free and look at a guy like Bo Nickel, like, holy shit. So
that's why I wish he wasn't on the main card. I wish he was on normal ESPN so we could get the casual fan to see the dominance of this kid and have the casual fan grow and watch this guy till he gets to the title shot, because there'll be someone that they can connect to. When you get instantly put into a pay-per-view main card, there's going to be a lot of people that fall off and do not watch.
Yep.
I would have loved for him to be the featured prelim.
That would have been the best way to go, but apparently he said no.
He said that he's only a pay-per-view fighter. If not, he might retire. So I don't agree with the approach he's taking, but it doesn't change the fact that he's going to likely be a champion. Like 95%. Anyway, into the next main card fight. Mateus Gamrot versus Jalen the Spider Turner. I think this is a closer fight than a lot of people are giving Jalen Turner credit for, if I'm being 100% honest.
Yep.
I honestly agree. Wouldn't be surprised if all three of us might take Turner in this fight. However, it'd be very irresponsible of us to just completely say 21-2, Mateus Gamrot is not a real opponent. Sam, we can let you start this one off.
I mean, after you say that, I'm taking Turner in this one. Guy's running at least is on at least a 5-fight win streak, finishing everybody at least second round. He's getting it by TKO and sub. So, I mean, guy has some power in those hands, as well as he's got the wrestling. I don't know how he's not top 15.
He is top 15.
Or he is. He's right at the 10. Back end of 15. Oh, I think he's number 10. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think he moved into 10 because Conor McGregor dropped out of the rankings. Which, whatever. Doesn't matter. It's still Conor McGregor.
You get to see him fight this year. Who cares? I'm 50-50 in this fight. I think he's fought Benil Dariush, the top, you know, cream of the crop guys, and he's beaten a lot of dogs in the sport. I think he's just going to out-grapple him once he realizes he can't strike with Jalen Turner. I think he's going to make it just super boring and just be in his face nonstop. And I don't think I think his grappling's great. I don't think his pure wrestling's great. So I don't think he's going to stop enough takedowns. He might get back to his feet here and there, but I got like a split decision or 29-28 Gamrot. I just think the experience, personally.
All right.
Check the schedule.
Have the two of you guys looked at the odds on this fight without looking at a computer right now? What do you guys think the odds are in terms of Gamrot? Like, where do you think he is? He's clearly going to be the favorite, but what do you guys think the number is?
Minus 200.
240.
You guys were right around it. Minus 225. At plus 185, Jalen Turner's a fun bet.
Yeah.
Like, that could be a money-making bet right there.
I think a lot of people are going to throw Gamrot in, like, a little parlay if we're just speaking about the betting terms of it. But I don't know, man. I think it's going to be a really good fight. And Jalen Turner, he wins this fight. He's probably 2 fights away from title fight, maybe, which is crazy to think about.
So they started talking about it. Like, when the fight between Dariush and Oliveira goes down, Oliveira, there is a question if he can make the weight. Do they want a backup fighter? Now, I don't know if you guys just watched the press conference. They asked both of them, like, hey, would you guys be willing to, sacrifice and try to make weight to become the backup fighter? Gamrot said, I don't know. Like, it would be a question in my mind. Then they went to Jalen Turner. Jalen Turner said, when I win this fight, I'm going to be making weight for that fight as well. Because he goes, that will be my shot to the title. If that's your confidence, I kind of love you. Like, it's worth sprinkling some money at plus 185.
I agree.
And he's 100% correct. That's his chance to get it to a title.
Because, and not having to go through that absolutely stacked lightweight division.
Well, and we all know, if Conor beats Chandler, which I think most people actually do believe he will, because the mismatch of striker versus striker, I don't think Chandler is going to be boring and try to bring it to the ground.
You saw what Conor did with Chad Mendez. I think it'd be a lot like he'd wear him out. And you know, Chandler, he's going to stand and bang for fight. He's going to,
well,
and you stand and bang with Conor. You don't need to do that.
And Alvarez said it best. He goes, Chandler loves to entertain. He easily could win that fight. And I don't think any of us disagree with that. He easily could win the fight. But because he's such an entertainer, he's going to want to stand and bang. And his standing, like, him on his feet is not going to compete with Conor McGregor.
It's just, it's a little different levels in that sense. But I just think that fight, that's fun. We can talk about that in a future time.
We will. But
right here is that Gamrot Turner one's going to be a banger. I think that could be fight of the night if Turner can rock him.
Yeah. I'm 100% with you. I think this could be a fight of the night. there's definitely going to be a performance of the night, I would say, coming from this fight. However, we've all been wrong. We've all said that there's one of these banger cards, and I don't want everyone to get their hopes up and something goes wrong, and all of a sudden it's not as great of a card as we once thought it was going to be.
Say it.
There's a chance. That's all I'm saying, is there's a chance that it might not be as great as we're making it up to be.
Yeah.
I hope we're wrong. That's the second part of that. As for now, the people's main event, as many have started to call the non-title fight of the main card, we get Jeff Neal versus Shavkat Rakhmonov. Rakhmonov comes in with a 16-0 record, 8 wins by submission, 8 wins by knockout. Jeff Neal, we've known that he's a warrior. He'll fight literally anyone or wants to fight anyone. I'm sorry, Jeff Neal, you have no chance.
Oh, no chance.
Dude, I want to see Rakhmonov Chimaev for the welterweight strap one day.
All right, so this was what I was kind of – this is what I said in my article. If Chimaev wasn't all crazy at all times, it'd be Shavkat. I want a Chimaev versus Shavkat Rakhmonov fight. The question will be, does Chimaev actually ever fight in the welterweight division again? I hope he can.
I don't think he should.
I don't think he should.
I don't think he can make weight.
I think he should move up to middleweight and honestly dominate there until he sees Bo Nickel, and then we'll get some great title fights there.
The build-up of that one, imagine that. That'd be fun.
Manov, he's the quiet version.
Yeah, he's the silent killer. I don't think Rakhmonov could beat Chimaev, and I've said this openly. I think we need to see him against guys like Gilbert Burns before we say something like that.
Okay, I agree.
Because if you think he's dominant, did you not see how good Khamzat was leading up to that Burns fight? He didn't get touched. No one even tapped him. So we should pause until the great martial artists in that division, at that weight, the Kobe's, the Gilbert Burns's, can get their hands on this dude, and then we'll see what he's about. But Jeff Neal, you don't have a chance. I'm sorry. You ever see me in person, don't beat me up.
What do you guys think Shavkat inside distance is? So either by KO or by submission.
Inside distance?
Yeah.
Minus 1,200.
No. Minus 250, minus 300.
It's minus 175. That's great value, honestly.
Putting the mortgage on that.
Yeah, that's an easy pick. Like, I like Jeff Neal a lot. Just like how I liked Neil Magny, you have zero chance of winning that fight.
Yeah, and I thought I was even one of those guys. I was like, you know, Neil, he's a gamer. He can maybe put up a fight. He always does. No, there's levels in the sport. And like, just like we all thought Jing Lang or whatever was going to put up a fight against Hazma, you know?
Yeah. And
that did, though. It did. And like, I think Jeff Neal is great, but the styles are really bad, too, first of all. And yeah, this is just not a good fight for him. Yeah. But he took big props to him. He's on a great card. Those stocks going to go up. If he puts any type of performance on, the stock will go up.
All right. So between the two of them, I shouldn't say between the two of them because we know who's going to win. For Shavkat, when he wins, what's like a good next opponent do you guys think for him? Is it a Gilbert Burns? Because I think Gilbert Burns is going to be fighting for a title once he beats, like, a Jorge.
I think Jorge wins that, but we'll go to that later.
Whoa!
I do. Styles. I really think Jorge's going to win that fight. But I think a Gilbert Burns would be good. I want to see Kobe fight these guys. Kobe's just – what is he doing? What's your boy doing? You guys love him
very much. I'll tell you that.
Recovering from mouth surgery.
Yeah, dude, come on. Who is that guy fought that's good, Kobe? He needs a good fight.
Colby's going to fight Bilal Muhammad. That's his way back to a title shot.
The fact you just said that, let's have Kobe beat Bilal and then feed Bilal to Rakhmonov, and then we're good.
The other person that's right there in the rankings somehow still is Steven Thompson.
He said he won't fight a wrestler. He's only going to fight strikers.
Okay. Well, once he jumps over Sean Brady, he'll be at 7. So I guess it's going to have to be Bilal.
What is Rakhmonov right now in the rankings?
He's currently 9. Jeff Neal's 7.
And Brady's 8?
Brady's 8.
I was going to say the Brady fight would be good.
The Brady fight would be a lot of fun. And I think that you could make a case that winner of that fight just leapfrogs over Steven Thompson.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
How is Steven Thompson at number 6?
Because he's such a nice guy.
Yeah, NMF, right?
And I guess when Gilbert – if you say Gilbert Burns loses to Masvidal, I guess Masvidal is right back up there.
That's what I'm saying.
We'll talk
about that. Is Masvidal going to be able to beat a wrestler?
You're a fucking crazy person. You know that?
Gilbert's not a straight wrestler. I think the styles – you'll see. Gilbert's going to beat him, and then Gilbert's going to – might face Leon if Leon can get the win. And then guess what? Gilbert's knocking Leon out. Or not Gilbert, sorry. Jorge's knocking Leon out, and Jorge's got the strap, and you got Connor going up to 70. And then there we go. That's my dream match.
All right, this is a pipe dream. I see what
Jorge Masvidal is champ.
Jorge Masvidal champion. Connor beats Masvidal. I see what you're doing here.
That's just like.
Is that because that's who you think he could beat at 170?
I think he can beat Gilbert Burns. I think you knock him out. And then I think they'd feed him someone like Leon because that's the best option.
No. We're talking Connor. Connor. You think
we're talking Connor, not Jorge.
Oh, Connor's not beating anyone 77 strikers. So yeah, it'd be a Jorge or like Leon. He could beat maybe.
And he's not going to beat Leon. They're represented by the same people.
Yeah, this is I'm not biased at all, but St. Paddy's Day is coming up, so can you guys give me a break?
Okay, fine. I mean, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life, but okay. Into the co-main event, which is a title fight. I can't even get over that. Valentina Shevchenko versus Alexa Grasso. The one thing I took away from the press conference, and I didn't realize this, this might be the battle of the two most beautiful women that I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even like a attractive, like, sexy look. Like, the two of them are just beautiful.
And it's just, they're both very stoic, too, and they carry themselves a certain way that's, I love this fight. I think after this, the Santos fight, people are really shitting on Valentina. As if she's not the longest tenured UFC champ right now. She's had the belt since 2018. She's dominated every fight. She had one slip up. I think she's going to come in and just demolish in this fight.
I'm with you.
But Grasso, super beautiful. If you ever want me to invite me to Mexico, let me know.
For Grasso, it's honestly unfortunate that this is what this is the end of the road, because I think she could be a champion. Like, I don't think there's a question that she has everything that it takes. It's just the issue that she is facing my greatest of all time in the women's MMA. And that she basically has to wait for her to leave to have any chance of winning this division. Because maybe she could make it, if she can make the weight in the strawweight division, then yeah. Then give me Alexa Grasso in every single fight.
Except for Tatiana Suarez.
But okay. Yeah, all right.
Not in this fight. You got Valentina or Alexa?
I mean, Valentina. She had a tough fight the last time out, but it's Valentina.
If you guys had your GOAT ladder for females in MMA, who's your top 3? Or top 5, per se? Let's do top 5.
These
next two fights, I'm sorry, are, in my opinion, the two GOATs of the men and women's, which is, I think when we look back at this in 20 years, it's going to be insane that we think we get to look back and that Valentina and John were on the same card. So who's your top 5, though, for females?
Well, it started off at 1 because we didn't plan this. So at number 1, I have Valentina.
Absolutely, yeah.
I have Amanda.
Okay, that's equally as respectable. I have number 2, Amanda.
Yeah, I have Valentina too.
Yeah, I got Amanda too.
I got to give it to Amanda just because of the head-to-head.
At number 3, I have Joanna.
Who do you got, Sam?
I mean, you might have to put Rose up there.
I love Joanna Young Jacek, but I got Rose at three.
Yeah.
I have Rose at four.
I have probably Weili Jiang at four.
Oh, I got Holly Holm at four, and then I got Joanna at five.
At number five, I have Zhang Weili. However, if we were ever talking about pioneers, I would have to put Ronda Rousey at number one. That's like the honorable mention, but I don't think she would compete right now.
Well, that's like saying Hoyce top five, you know?
Right. Well, that's what it is. I think we all need to mention Ronda Rousey at some point.
The only reason these girls are fighting is because of Ronda, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'd put Ronda at five just because, yeah, how many eyes she brought to the sport. Her and Connor in the early 2010 or mid 2010s.
Yeah, that was.
Can you name two more popular fighters?
It never happened. Even like when Chuck and Tito were getting, what Ronda did for the sport is she was. Even Dana said, the only person more popular than Conor McGregor is Ronda Rousey internationally. Like she was a freak. So,
but I mean, I wasn't even into MMA, and I would follow. Those were the two people's fights I'd follow were Conor and Ronda.
Yeah,
see, everyone knew what happened after those fights.
Yeah.
And then John Jones was a very close third at that point, if you weren't a fan of UFC.
Well, it was once, like, Anderson Silva fell off and stuff, you had John, but John was in and out of fights, in and out of trouble. And Conor was able to come in there, Ronda was able to come in there, and, like, kind of save the sport in some way and make it to what it is now, in my opinion.
I mean, and the Holly Holm versus Ronda fight goes down as one of the biggest fights of all time.
That's why I have Holly in there. She's just
– yeah. And there's
really that follows sports at all knows the image of Ronda Rousey getting knocked out by Holly Holm.
I would say the only way your answer could be wrong is if you don't have Valentina or Amanda in the top five.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only way you can be wrong. Maybe top
3. 100%. So, and Sam, I think Weili, if she continues her, you know, what she's doing, she's definitely going to be up there. I just think it's too early right now for her to be in that five.
All right. We got one more fight to talk about, though. This one's going to take a while. We have Cyril Gane, a Frenchman, going up against one of the greatest of all time. His name is John Jones. He's the former light heavyweight champion of the world. He's been the number one pound-for-pound fighter. He was Fighter of the Year in 2012. He was the 2013 number seven fighter of the year. He's been fighter of the year inside the top 10 multiple times. He is a complete superstar. John motherfucking Bone Jones. He's returning for the first time in 3 years. Boys, we're here.
You know what's crazy is when we started us three together on this, on the ground pound, we haven't got a John Jones fight week. It's crazy. It's been that long. We've been talking about it. And every week we talked about any big fight, we mentioned John Jones. He's the greatest, most dominant, just purest martial artist to ever walk the face of the earth. And he's doing something after 3 years people don't do. He went up. He's going to the scariest division with the biggest, baddest dudes, facing a dude that's been so active. And John Jones fight week, baby. Like, there's nothing else to say about it.
It's crazy that, I mean, the biggest time when people became fans of MMA was during COVID because it was the first sport back. Every single person that started following the sport that day has not seen John Jones fight.
I haven't seen John Jones fight.
That's what I'm saying.
And it's crazy because everyone, you know, they talk about Habib because he obviously dominated during the COVID era. You know, you talk about all these guys, like even like Kamaru's, like people that don't know fighting know Kamaru more than they've seen John fight. And it's like, this man won a title, I believe, 24 years old. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is it 23 or 24?
I can check it right now. It was against Shogun, right? 2011. Oh, God. And it's like 12 years ago, almost the date that he won. He was 23.
23 years old. So younger than all of us talking about this right now. right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Since that, I'm just gonna pull this in here. Sorry, it's on my notes. Since that fight, this is John's credentials. If everyone doesn't know, the knockout of Shogun submitted Rampage Jackson, a dog at the time. Lota Machida, the one of the nastiest submissions ever. He beat Rashad. He beat Vitor, and that was honestly pre-USADA Vitor. He beat Alexander. He beat Kill Sonnen. Daniel Cormier twice. I don't care the no contest one. That's bullshit. OSP. So this one he started winning decisions. Beat OSP. Got his rematch. Finished Gustafson.
You skipped over Glover.
Beat Glover. And then, you know, he beat Thiago Santos and Smith in 2019. 2020 beat Reyes. That was the last time we saw him. Look, the dude doesn't lose. He just beats all the best guys in their eras. And if he can beat Ciryl Gane, who, if John Jones wasn't alive and Francis wasn't alive, he would dominate the sport. And people would be like, who the hell is this dude? John Jones is the fucking greatest to ever do it. And anyone that – no, there's no resume like that.
No.
So.
When you talk about the Mount Rushmore of all of sports, I'm saying any sport out there, you might put John Jones on there. If you make a top 10 list of athletes of all time, and I'm not saying just MMA, John Jones almost better be on your list.
Yeah, you got guys like Michael. You got Serena Williams, Tiger Woods.
Michael Phelps.
Tom Brady. But in the MMA, if they get a spot up there, he's the most dominant ever. You got Michael Phelps. He's insane. And now the world gets to see, because so many more eyes are on the sport now. I just hope this is my only worry, because we got to start talking about Ciryl Gane and how much of a fucking beast he is. My only hope is John can show the world how dominant he is and be old John Jones that we got to see our whole lives.
John Jones is going to win this fight. I'm going to speak it into existence. And I don't even know if, obviously, it doesn't matter what I say, because he's just going to go out there and do it anyway. The fact that Ciryl Gane said that he really doesn't train when he doesn't have a fight is baffling to me, because you're trying to become the heavyweight champion of the world.
And Jones has been training for these guys for 3 years.
And you know what? Jones might not make the smartest decisions when he's just a normal human being. We've all seen him get into his fair share of trouble. But the man is a human computer when it comes to studying his opponent, knowing what he's going to do. He's going to be 5 steps ahead of Ciryl Gane. And since Ciryl Gane is so new to the sport, and it's something that we've all said, like, oh, this is all just raw talent. Well, raw talent does not beat John Jones.
And if you watch, going off that point, how cerebral he is, name one fight John lost the 5th round in. He doesn't. He knows if it's going to be 2-2 to win that 5th round. He knows how to just win fights. Even late in his career, now that he doesn't have the knockout party he had earlier, he doesn't lose fights. And people need to realize, you're going to watch him. He'll pick away at you. He'll get points. He'll win the last 30 seconds of every round. He's so cerebral. He knows exactly how to like win every fight. It's so fun to watch, and I cannot fucking wait.
You know he's that good when Daniel Cormier is saying that, yeah, we've had our battles, and yeah, there was the bad blood. He's the greatest of all time. Like, Daniel Cormier is as hard as they come. Daniel Cormier is a top 10 fighter, probably, of all time.
He's top, yeah, easy top 10.
Easy.
Yep.
And the fact that he lost twice to John Jones speaks volumes about the game. And then Daniel Cormier was able to become a heavyweight champ. What's John Jones going to be able to do?
Against the heavyweight GOAT.
Against the heavyweight GOAT, yes, he went 1-2 against him. However, look at the people that Daniel Cormier has lost to. It's Stipe, John Jones.
That's it.
That's it.
He lost to Stipe and John. That's how great DC is. If DC was in any other era, he would have wiped through every division he wanted to.
Oh, we could have easily started saying, like, oh, like, maybe DC's a GOAT. Well, he fought in the wrong era, because we know what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going off just the fight itself. We're gonna go hypothetical. John Jones wins, which should happen. Hopefully, Who do you see him fighting Stipe as the next fight?
Yeah.
And then he wins that fight. If I'm John Jones and I beat Cyril and then I beat Stipe, I retire.
Retire.
Because you don't need to fight that other dude that just weighed in. And we all know his name. Do you want to say it?
Sergey Pavlovich.
That dude is the future.
And that's if I'm the baddest man on the planet.
That is the baddest man on the planet. Everyone knows. There's
a reason that Francis Ngannou retired. It's not, I don't think it's because of John Jones. I think if you lose John Jones, it's all okay in your world. It's the fact that there's a dude that is a bigger dude than you, that has bigger power, that would easily mop the floor with you. Because you know what would have happened had he lost to John Jones? His next fight is Sergey Pavlovich.
Yeah.
And that's not going to go your way.
If you guys haven't seen Sergey Pavlovich fight, it's scary. Because if he faced off with Francis right now, he would put fear in Francis' eyes. That dude is a machine. But that's a different story. He's weighing in, though. That's actually a big story. On the simple fact that we've had night before sicknesses, fight night injuries. So if I'm John or Cyril, I don't want the other one to pull out. I want this fight.
Let's be real. If one of the two of them, for whatever God unknown reason, hopefully that nothing happens, if one of the two can't make it on Saturday, are we taking Pavlovich?
Yeah, because they're training for each other. John's studying Cyril. Cyril's studying John.
Pavlovich is just a fucking killer. It doesn't matter who he studies for.
Yeah, no one's studying for the mountain of a man in Sergey. So
he's
I think John Jones is gonna put his legacy cemented as the all time GOAT after this fight. I think he's gonna beat Stipe.
Me too. And then retire.
Just pass, because there's no need to fight Sergey right now. And then you lose that. What if you lose that? Your Sergey never loses again? Because he's gonna do a Fedor run, I feel like, where he's just
Sergey's so 16-1 or 17-1 right now.
I'm not sure.
I think he was 16-1 going into Singapore.
16?
Yeah, I think he's 17-1 now.
Who the hell? Yeah, 17-1. Who the hell beat this man?
They showed the video. I forgot what it was. It was fucked.
Alistair Overeem.
Alistair beat him, dude. But then again, Alistair is the top probably 6-7 heavyweight of all time.
In his UFC debut, he lost to Alistair Overeem.
Right? He had Alistair Overeem in his UFC debut.
So Dana wanted him to get up there, and he fucked up right away. And then he was like, all right, I'll get better. That's crazy. That's wild to think about. You know, Cyril has one loss, too. It's Francis. Francis has a loss to Stipe. John doesn't have a fucking loss. Fuck Matt Hamill with that one, that legal elbow. Like,
he lost because he killed him almost.
And honestly, what would be even cooler if John wins this fight, beats Stipe, and then says, let's bring Sergey on, bring them all on. But he's 35. I don't think he wants to do that.
Yeah, how many times do you think he's going to fight a year if he's champ? Because it's like going to be a year until he fights Stipe.
Probably end of the year. He'd fight Stipe in December, probably.
So then he'd be 30, 35, still 36, and then Sergey at 36, 37.
Yeah, then you got to retire. You got to go. On your shield, at least don't go out like my man Chuck Liddell did.
No.
How do you guys think the fight's gonna go though? Like the actual style of the fight. How do you think? Like you had
5 rounds decision.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he's gonna wear him down. A lot of people are saying 3-2, and I could see that, but I think it's gonna be 4-1. I have a feeling within the first two rounds, Cyril will win one of those two rounds. But we all know how John Jones is. He's built for 25 minutes. And we've all seen how Cyril Gane is. He's not. He got out battled by Ngannou. I think that within the first
he got laid on by Ngannou for 15 minutes,
and then the next three rounds is gonna be John Jones running through him.
What I think is Cyril's gonna not beat the shit out of John the first round. I think he's gonna piece him up and make people like, oh shit, John's not like that. John's gonna go in between rounds, talk to Brandon Gibson, talk to the boys, and he's gonna start to get dirty, like a little, you know, he's going to start wrestling. I think he's going to realize I have to win 3 rounds by wrestling, because Cyril Gane, his striking and his power is up there. But yeah. I think John's going to out-wrestle him. If Francis Ngannou can basically win, like Sam said, by wrestling and laying on him, you're telling me John Jones can't?
You're right.
If he, when he needs to win the fight, he will just get to a clinch, wrestle, and the fight's over.
Yeah, I agree. I think the way John Jones wins this fight is wrestling. I think, I don't know. I just think the power difference on the feet for Gon. I mean, he finished what? Tai Tuivasa, who Derek Lewis couldn't finish?
Yeah, but those guys, you can't put them in the same echelon as Johnny Boy. Like,
yeah, I know. I'm just saying power wise.
Power wise, 100% actually. So, and that's another thing, too. I mean, John doesn't show much videos of him like training hard. Everyone's like, he's slow. He's this. He's this. I think it's going to be interesting to see how he can take a punch from a dude at 265.
Honestly, if you think that John Jones, I'm not saying that you think that. Before okay. I say this, if you think John Jones is slow, then you are slow in the fucking brain. So there's no way. John Jones is going to fucking kill this guy.
Jake, tell me this. When you saw John's lead ups to every fight ever, has he ever shown a video of him not just like slow boxing? Like he doesn't.
It's ever every fight. Like, it's every fight. He fucking just drags you in because he's like. You're like, oh, this guy's lost a step. He's never fucking lost a step. He's going to fucking kill you.
Yeah.
Well, it also helps that he's actually training for this fight, unlike in the past.
What's going to lead you to believe that this guy has ever lost a step? Is it going to be his NFL-ass brothers that are still making sacks every single time they go out on the field? No. The family's a fucking freak.
Yes.
He's going to win this fight. Yeah. He's going to be faster than anyone in the division. He was running through David Njoku on Embedded, and that's an NFL tight end who is supposed to be blocking defensive ends. If you don't think him being faster than the average defensive end isn't going to lead to him getting a takedown, you're an insane person.
Those videos show when John turns it on, he turns it on. He's a different speed. Yeah. He knows how, when those fights, and also, like, if you just think about the way he fights, he's not going to lose his fight. What's Cyril going to be able to do to him? You know what I mean? At distance,
I think Cyril would have to finish him early to win this fight. I think if John makes it past the third round, I don't see him losing. I think Cyril would have to finish him first two rounds.
It doesn't matter. John Jones is winning this fucking fight.
I mean, I think so too, but I think that's the only way Cyril Gane wins this fight is if he can get John to stand up with him. And it's been 3 years, and it's fat John Jones.
That was funny. He even said, it's not a bodybuilding competition. He goes, I'm stronger, faster, and more explosive than I've ever been. But he's had 3 years to adjust to the weight. Do you see the guys he's training with, like all UFC vets? You know, Walt Harris looks like he's fucking 300 pounds, by the way. I'm embedded. Sorry, Walt. But
he looked terrible.
John's going to be fine. I'm just excited for the walkout, the song, the lead up. My heart's going to be freaking racing as a fight fan. Man, I've been waiting 3 years for this. It's like this is a build-up to a Conor fight, except better because this dude hasn't lost. 27 fights, he dominates.
He said what song he's walking out to. I don't know if you guys watched the press conference.
What was it?
The champ is here.
Oh, my God. See, that, and also, he's got that switch, you know? What do they say? Kobe's a good guy that pretends to be bad. John's a bad guy that pretends to be good. And you can tell.
Does he pretend to be good?
He does now. Yeah,
he's an artist.
I still remember that interview you showed me with DC and John Jones after.
Well, yeah,
John,
no, you're just a garbage human being. On camera, he shows that he's such a great dude. And then behind camera, it's, what up, pussy? Fuck you. I'm going to fucking kill you.
He's like, is that pussy over in the next room? Like, am I off camera? Yeah.
It's not
John, I'd kill you.
For many people, it's an act to try to be like this big bad dude. For him, it's an act to try to make it people like him.
Yeah. That's what's crazy. He's an actual killer. Like, that dude's nuts. You ever see a video of him getting arrested? Like, the cop's talking to him, he goes, yeah, you like this shit, huh? Like, you think this is your best moment ever. You're gonna ruin my life, you piece of shit. You're so pathetic. Like, he's a
cop car.
He's a wild man. Yeah, he's John has that different switch, but one thing he can do better than anyone else ever is fight.
People that are Blue Lives Matter supporters love him. And there's never going to be another athlete like that ever.
No. Seriously, John's fan base is everywhere, and it shouldn't be, but it is because it's John fucking Jones. This is never going to happen again.
I support the police 100%. When John Jones does something to the police officers, I'm like, this is sick. I don't know why. I do not know why I enjoy it, but it's only him. If some random dude does that in the middle of Chicago, I'm like, yeah, fuck this guy. If it's John Jones, I'm like, this is so awesome. This is so John.
I'm like, yeah, John, get his ass. Fucking pathetic piece of shit. No. Yeah,
he's so,
he
so
does wrong. He does things that people shouldn't like, but at the end of the day, everyone wants him to win. Just like Connor. It's weird sometimes, you know?
I'm trying to beat police officers.
Yeah, like, it's
come bad. On.
Exciting stuff, man. Going into that, based on the Valentina thing real quick, I know it's getting long, this podcast. Top five, real quick, all time with guys, because John, the ghost fighting, so we gotta put it.
Number one, John.
I got John.
I got a two-way champ, and until he does it, GSP.
GSP's not a two-division champ.
Yeah, he is, middleweight and welterweight.
Oh, yeah, he did get beat Bisping, you're right, fucking GSP.
The one-eyed Bisping.
Oh, my gosh, GSP.
All right, so that number two, though, I hate to say it. I'm not even going GSP. I'm going Khabib.
No, I'm going – so my GOAT list is a little bit different. I go John, then I go Anderson Silva because in his prime, he was – no one's more dominant, even John. Like, he just literally knocked everyone out in the first round.
I'll go John number two.
Number three, I'm going GSP.
Three, I got GSP, 100%.
Three, I got Khabib.
And then number four, I have Silva.
Four, I have Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson. I don't know why the fuck people don't put respect on that dude's name. He dominated the sport.
Yeah, I got four at DJ.
You see,
guy literally had a division. He was the name a guy more dominant in his own division.
Nobody, yeah.
And what, Henry, he had, like, I think he had like 13 straight title defenses.
Yeah, and like all of them, a lot of them were finishes. And the loss to Henry was, dude, 50-50. So, yeah. Thank you, Sam. At least I know because Dietrich doesn't like Mighty Mouse.
And how do you trade him for Ben Askren?
That's not true. I have him at number six. At number five, I have Cejudo, though.
Five Cejudo?
Yeah.
Wow. I have... I like Henry, actually, that you just said that. But I still think Jose Aldo, the 12 years from WBC to UFC, like, he was number one. He was number one pound for pound, even like before he lost to Connor. Like no one would pass number one for like 5-6 years almost.
Number five, I have the heavyweight GOAT. I mean, how can you not be the GOAT? How can you not be the in the top five and be called the heavyweight GOAT, Stipe?
Stipe.
It's only because he's heavyweight, though.
Okay,
we're always saying he's the heavyweight GOAT of the UFC. We've been down this road.
I still think I love Fedor too, but Fedor's got some losses that are bad.
The last loss, I think, actually might put him below Stipe, to be honest with you.
Yeah, who's Stipe Ryan lost? Stipe lost one fight to Francis, and like, obviously, no, Stipe has more losses early on in his career, but
yeah. Lost to DC, lost to.
Yeah, no. You know what? Yeah, Fedor.
She thinks.
Fedor's lost.
Cormier's in the top 10, but you put it against Stipe for losing to him once.
Wait, who? Who were you saying?
Daniel's in my top 10.
Yeah, exactly. Daniel's in my top 10. And it's against Stipe for losing to him once out of three fights.
If I had to go 6-10, I'm putting like Aldo in there. I'm putting Mighty Mouse. I'm putting Stipe. I'm
surprised Colby's not in there.
Connor. And it's probably Usman. I didn't put him in order, but those are the next five.
DC is better all around, like pound for pound, top 10 all time, than Stipe. He's higher on my list than Stipe is.
Oh, I would agree. I didn't put those in order.
Five, six times. Guys, DC lost to Stipe twice going up a division at 40 years old. I mean, come on. But Stipe is definitely top. He's like 12 for me. Got off track. My bad, guys.
You're good. Should we do some cast or dash real quick before we get out of here?
I'm done.
We didn't even talk about Ultimate Fighter. We didn't talk about any of it. So let's just jump into a quick one each, cash or dash. Who wants to start it off?
I'll start off. Cash or dash. After last week, not after last weekend, don't judge your performance based on this. But I've said it on previous podcasts, and I will pull it up, and I'll clip it, and I'm going to save it forever. Tatiana Suarez, at 115, no one would beat her. No one would beat her, cash or dash. And if so, who?
I think Zhang Weili could give a chance. So I'm... She's the only one. She's the only one.
Okay. Well, there we go. We got those are
dash. But I think it'd be a great fight.
I just think she needs to get some bigger or better fight.
Be
or
more active again.
More active and also kind of fight a little bit better fighters. So I'd say dash right now.
And who then? Who do you think beats her?
I mean, Rose is, I put her top three. I think Rose could, just that power at 115.
I like it. I like it.
All right. Cash or dash with a win in the Ultimate Fighter Championship, whatever we want to call it, when Conor McGregor beats Michael Chandler, the next fight is a title shot.
Yeah. Sam.
It's Conor McGregor. It's the UFC cash cow.
Cash.
So cash. Oh, yeah.
I mean, everyone knows if he beats Michael Chandler, he's getting fucking whoever's at 55 with the belt.
Okay, wait, follow up then. If Conor McGregor beats Islam Makhachev in the lightweight title fight, Khabib comes out of retirement.
Dash, that fat fuck, he's not making 55 ever again in his life. He doesn't even want to coach. He's away from the sport, focusing on family.
What do you think he does if Conor's just sitting there at 155 champ after he beat his boy?
I would welcome that because guess what? It was the same shit then. Conor took fucking 3 years off and focused on different shit in his life. Wanted to come back and fight Khabib in his prime. Conor's active and can win a couple fights, get a title. Then Khabib's bitch ass better come and do the same thing. You fought Conor off the couch. You got to fight. He's got to fight you now when you're off the couch. I think Khabib would be a pussy if he didn't do that. Am I cussing too much on this thing? I'm sorry, guys.
It doesn't matter. I agree with you. And you know what? If Conor wins that, then my top five has changed again.
It's one, it's John, then Conor.
Khabib's out the top five then.
I think that's a lot to ask for him beating Islam.
What do you mean?
It is a lot to ask. We're not saying it's going to happen. He's probably going to be plus 600 a fight if that happened. But...
but I think if somehow Conor did beat Islam, yeah, I think Khabib would come out of retirement for it.
Tell me this. Who do you think is better, Islam or Khabib?
Khabib.
I think Islam's a better striker. I think Khabib's a better grappler.
Clearly, so he couldn't finish fucking Volkanovski.
And what happened in that fight? The Khabib McGregor fight. It was 2-1 on every judge's scorecards.
Yeah.
It was 2-1 going into the fourth. So Conor, if he was right there three rounds in with Khabib, he could be right there with Islam. I think Islam is a better striker to a degree, which is going to actually be better for Conor because he was like so – he just made fun of Khabib and then got hit with the right, and that's what screwed it all up.
Yeah.
But that's interesting. I like that. What's your cash or death, Sam?
I have to think.
Oh, well, that's why we went to you last.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
smooth brain.
Catch your death.
COVID.
Blame COVID. What are you?
Sam's got COVID. I mean,
politician right there, if I've ever seen one.
This is why we can't do these in person because we don't know if Sam's gonna have COVID or not.
That's the only reason we haven't done it in the 2 years.
It's not because Sam lives in Milwaukee.
COVID.
Cash or dash, Bo Nickel will be a champ in 2 years.
By the end of 2024, 2025?
By the start of 2025. So, yeah.
I'm saying pass, just because there's not enough time.
I think he gets it the December.
Pereira was champ within 2 years.
Yeah. Actually, you know what, Sam? Valid ass point. And Bo Nickel will fight three times a year. He fights now. He fights top 15. He gets top 10. It's the new year. He fights the top fucking five. He types fights for the contender spot, and he gets the fucking chance of the belt. I'm going cash on Sam Sting right there.
Question: I think he is champ, or he fights for the belt?
Is the champ?
Pass.
I think it's going to be cash. He's already on a his debut's on the paper on this pay per view. Yes. I think that UFC wants to send this guy to the moon. If he gets a couple of dominant victories, I can see it where they start feeding him. Who's going to beat him at middleweight?
Kamzat.
He doesn't even know what division he wants to be in. Yeah, we don't know that.
Like, who's the tough opponent for Bo Nickel in the top five?
Whitaker.
Whitaker?
He would throw Whitaker around like a rag doll.
Probably, but
there's
a lot in between that.
There is. And who knows? Jamie Pickett could throw a sneaky cheek cook and then fight's over.
Bo Nickel could get very comfortable very quick too. We've seen it happen.
Have you seen the way he's fought though? The first two fights, he doesn't get comfortable ready.
Two of his wins of his 3-0 record are Dana White Contender Series wins.
He's only had three fights.
That's what I'm saying. Two of them are Dana White Contender Series fights.
It's 13-9. Those Contender Series guys have better records than Pickett.
Yeah, no, I agree. He'll beat Pickett. I didn't say he wouldn't.
Oh, you're saying other guys.
But I'm saying, like, maybe we should ease him in.
I don't think we'll see. We'll see.
We won't. We definitely won't. And we'll see if that's the right choice or the wrong choice very quickly.
I mean, it worked out with Pereira.
Come on, yeah.
I want to see Bo Nickel striking before anything happens.
He's knocked out two dudes out of his four fights.
We'll see. Who are the two dudes?
Who's Jamie Pickett beating? Who's
I didn't say he'd lose to Jamie Pickett.
Okay. All right, well, who'd Hazmat beat before he had Jing Ling Ling? It doesn't matter.
Muirchert's a name.
Gerald Muirchert.
He's a name. I know who he is. I have no idea who Bo Nickel beat.
CM Punk was in the UFC too. We know his name.
Well, CM Punk's a joke.
Brock Lesnar was a champ.
CM Punk doesn't only have losses either.
He's all losses, right?
No, he's got a no decision. There are contests now.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Because the dude is doing steroids.
he's like, I didn't lose that 5 months.
Did it. I wish CM Punk would return. I can't be the only one.
He's out with injury.
CM Punk's never coming back.
CM Punk versus Jake Paul. MMA, PFL, run it.
All right, okay. This episode's already been long.
Jacob,
enough.
Want to know Pereira's four fights in the UFC before he got Izzy?
Yes.
Michaelides, Silva, Sean Strickland, Izzy.
Strickland was his only big fight, so Nickel could definitely be fine.
Okay, this episode's been long enough, so I don't mind going a couple more minutes. How happy are we that Jake Paul lost?
Extremely.
Yeah, dude, fucking, I don't care for either.
Now we're done. Did you guys watch the fight?
No. I just heard it was Jake Paul looked horrible.
Tommy Fury sucks.
Dude, but it made Jake look that bad because Tommy's not even ever going to be a top 15 boxer in his division. And Jake looked retarded. Jake looked bad. Like,
if I'm Tommy Fury, I'm staying in this whole YouTube boxing thing.
Oh, it's fun now. Yeah, I'm making money. I'm chilling.
Much money. You're going to fight nobodies. Go fight KSI next.
Yeah, easy. No. I can find a gym in Chicago with a pro boxer that weight of, like, the heavyweight Fury or whatever Tommy and them fight at, whatever weight that is. There's some dudes that sling out in Windy City boxing.
Yeah.
I've been training there here and there. Dude, those guys would piece them up. So guys like Tommy Fury, he should stay with where he's at now.
Go fight Logan Paul next.
Go back on Love Island and then come back and fight somebody else.
And guess what? By then you're 26.
Yeah.
Yep. We lost Sam. I think his computer died. But yeah, that's the end of the episode. We'll see you guys next week for a recap. You down to film on Sunday?
I'm down. Yes, absolutely. All
right. Sunday recap episode. We'll see you guys then. Peace.